Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. In August, President Trump signed an executive order making it easier to include alternative assets like crypto, private equity, and real estate in 401k retirement accounts. While the White House is pitching this as a way of democratizing access to alternative assets, others are raising questions about transparency, fees, and who is actually benefiting, workers or private equity. Today, we talk about what this change means and why those with retirement plans should be paying attention. Joining us is Pam Kruger of PBS's Money Track and founder and CEO of WealthRamp. Welcome back, Pam.
Thanks, Mindy. Love being here.
Also joining us is Lisa Gomez. She served under the Biden administration as Assistant Secretary of Employee Benefit Security, the Department of Labor Division that oversees private sector workplace retirement plans. Welcome, Lisa.
Good morning, Mindy. Thanks for having me.
All right, Pam. It's a lot of us, like me, we sign up for a 401k and we just sort of sit back and we don't really pay much attention. And as we're going to hear this morning, we need to be paying attention.
I know. I hear this all the time from clients who say that, you know, when I'm in my 401k thinking about the investment options, I'm on autopilot, putting the money in automatically. I really never see it. And the irony here is that the money that you're paying attention to the least, this is your retirement savings, probably deserves most of your attention because this is your most important savings. And, you know, this time in framing this issue, let's say out of the gate, this is not political. This time, it's not political. It's not left or right. It's about having the ability to make an informed decision about your most important savings. And this executive order just simply provides a glide path, for better or for worse, for lots of financial services brokers to push private investments into these plans. And that's why we want to get into the pros and cons.
Executive orders are coming out of the White House fast and furiously. Was this order to open up alternative assets in 401k plans a surprise to either of you?
It was not really a surprise to me so much in the sense that, you know, one thing with changes in political administrations, you have a lot of ping ponging back and forth. So one person is in office and they say that, you know, they want things to go one way. And then you get the next person in office says that, you know, that way wasn't the right way, now go my way. And then you get someone else in office. So, and for those of us who are just like watching this ping pong game going back and forth, it's hard to know really like where we end up at the end of the day. But so this does happen oftentimes. And in the first Trump administration, there was some signaling of the administration to be more open to having people's retirement funds invested in these types of alternative investments to like broaden people's ability to what they would invest in. Then with the Biden administration, there was a little bit of holding back, not saying you can't do it, but saying a little bit more of a, you know, whoa, just it, maybe it's not such a great idea. Think twice. Here's all these things you should be warned about. So so I don't think it was a surprise to many people in the field that there was another executive order that came out in this administration saying, no, you know, we're going to take back those cautionary warnings that came out during the Biden administration and try to make this more open to people with their retirements again. So what it was going to look like and how far they were going to go with this was, I think, more of a, you know, folks with their crystal balls figuring out, you know, what it would look like. And what they did end up putting out was much more than what had happened with the first Trump administration. This was way more of a, we're going to, you know, open the gates, you know, as we were saying, and make these types of investments available to retirees. And, you know, as Pam can attest to, because she's way more of a direct expert in this area, these types of investments have been available to people forever, you know, I mean, as long as they've been around, anyone could invest in them. The difference now is whether you can invest it with your 401k money. You can always you could have always taken if you had, some slush fund or something on the side that you wanted to invest in private investments. You always could have done that. Now it's a question of whether or not with your 401k money, which is this more sacrosanct part of your assets, whether you could invest in alternatives with that money. So that's where we are.
So in the past, how have rules around 401k plans typically evolved? Is it through Congress or rules from the Department of Labor? How does it usually evolve?
So it's a interesting kind of path how things go. But normally, the way things will evolve is they'll start in Congress. So Congress will issue on the federal level because 401ks are governed by federal law, not state law. So Congress will start with with enacting laws that affect retirement, and then it's up to the Department of Labor, the federal agency, to interpret those laws and to issue regulations that kind of put meat on the bones about what these laws mean. So in this case, under the federal law that applies here, there's nothing in any law that says whether or not you can invest in alternatives and what types of how you should be investing your 401k, your retirement money. There's no law that specifically talks about that. That has all been dictated by the agency, by the Department of Labor, in fleshing out in regulations. The folks who are in charge of administering and, kind of taking care of these retirement plans on a high level are people called fiduciaries. They are people who owe a certain duty, a certain responsibility to all of the people who have accounts in this retirement plan. And what the Department of Labor has done in the past and is being asked to look at this in a new light now is to think about these folks who have a fiduciary obligation to the participants, how can they meet those obligations when we're talking about alternatives? How can they, what do they have to do? How can they do it in the first place? And now that the administration is saying, we think that these fiduciaries, these people with these responsibilities, should be able to offer alternatives to people in retirement funds. What's that going to look like? What is someone who is in charge of these plans going to have to do for participants to be able to have access to it? So there's a bit of, both Congress and the agencies having a part in this.
So, Pam, what are some of the new investments that would be allowed under this executive order? And then what are some of the reasons they haven't been allowed in the past?
Well, private investments can be everything under the sun in terms of they're called alternative investments. It might be private equity. It might be private real estate loans. It might be private real estate assets that you're investing in. It could be, it's all kinds of private deals. So that's what the whole issue is. When we talk about what's at stake here, why does it matter? Like, why are we even talking about this? Because you are probably going to start seeing these options show up inside your 401k. Now, you might scratch your head and say, oh, I'm 50 years old and I want to accelerate and get my savings on like, hyper mode. So I've been hearing that private equity and private investments, have better returns, maybe yes, maybe no. And you say, okay, that's now available in my 401k. But you have to separate. The problem is, we're talking about inside the bubble of your work environment. Do you really believe that your employer understands these investments? Because I can tell you that most, not only not the employer, a lot of the people pitching these investments don't even understand them because they are so incredibly opaque. They are a black box. So you cannot get pricing on a daily basis. You cannot get your money out right when you want to. So if you're a typical person saving for retirement in a 401k and you don't like it when you see the stock market drop 20%, you're going to hate private equity and private investments because You can't know what's going on when you need to. So the truth is, it's packaged and delivered as, oh, we are democratizing investing for everyday retirement savers by bringing this option to your 401k, which, by the way, as we pointed out, you could buy it any day of the week all by yourself outside your 401k. Does it need to be stuffed into your 401k? So when it comes in, it will be packaged and it will be wrapped. Here's one of the biggest problems. Aside from the illiquidity, if that doesn't bother you, aside from the fact that you can't know what the value is on any day of the week, if that doesn't bother you, what's going to bother you is when you finally find out what the fees are. The fees in these private investments are so much higher than the highest fee. Like we're talking, well over 2%. So now you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? So now let's step out of the 401k bubble and go into the real world. How many people, like wealthy people, because this is supposed to be all about, I want to invest like wealthy people do. I want to have access to private investments. Guess what? People with over 5 million only invest at the most, maybe 5% of their portfolio in these kinds of private investments because they know better. They know the fees are high and their advisors are going to tell them not to. I have 200 plus financial advisors who are fiduciaries inside my network. I can tell you right now that not just most, the vast majority don't do any private equity or private investments with their clients with over $1 million, or certainly not under. And when they do, it's no more than 5%. So it's almost like much ado about nothing. We're making a whole bunch of noise and we're rattling sabers and we're saying, these investments are the coolest thing and they're coming to your 401k soon. But when you really look at it, it's kind of like, wah, wah, wah. It's a little underwhelming.
Yeah. So, Pam, you mentioned a couple of things: liquidity, transparency, another red flag, conflict of interest, right?
Yeah, maybe I'll let Lisa address the conflicts.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Mindy. These fiduciaries that I've mentioned, they are required to act in the best interest of the person, the participant, the retiree that they're serving, and not in their own interest. And so, in this area, in so many areas involving investments, there can be conflicts of interest where, if you're someone who is giving a retirement saver advice about where, how they should be investing their money, it may be that if they invest money in option A, that you as the advisor will get this level of fee paid to you. But if they advise in option B, you'll get a higher fee paid for you. And it's important for the person that's giving that advice to really be thinking of, am I giving this retiree or this retirement saver advice based on what's best for them or on what's best for me? And so when I was at the Department of Labor, we did a lot of work in this area to try to clarify and give guidance to what those obligations were so that the people giving advice knew what was required of them, but also to regular workers and retirement savers to understand that these conflicts can come up. So in the same or similar way to if you're going to the doctor, and your doctor has two different medications that they could give to you for whatever condition that you have. And if they prescribe medication A, then you'll just pay for that medication. But if they prescribe you medication B, they might get something from, whoever's manufacturing that medication. And it might be that medication B or investment B is really the right thing and the best thing for you as the retirement investor, but you need to understand, and we need to make sure that the people that are giving this type of advice are not having those conflicts come into the way of them giving the best advice for that retirement saver who they're speaking with. But there are a lot of conflicts, and there is a lot of money to be made in this area of private investments. So again, while it could be something that makes perfect sense for an investor to put some small part of their savings in this, we need to be make sure that everyone who's involved is making decisions for the right reason and giving advice for the right reasons.
We're talking about an executive order making it easier to include alternative assets in 401k retirement accounts and what that means. 866-999-4626 is our number. If you have a question or a comment, that's 866-999-4626. Or you can send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. In August, President Trump signed an executive order making it easier to include alternative assets like crypto, private equity, and real estate in 401 retirement accounts. We're talking about what this change means and why those with retirement plans should be paying attention. With us is Pam Kruger of PBS's Money Track and founder and CEO of WealthRamp, and Lisa Gomez, who served under the Biden administration as Assistant Secretary of Employee Benefit Security, the Department of Labor division that oversees private sector workplace retirement plans. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. So are there potential upsides to opening up these alternative assets? I sort of touched a little bit on it. I mean, for some folks, this could be a good thing, right, Lisa?
Yeah, no, for some folks, this could be a good thing. And the key here is, not a question of whether or not they're not inherently good, they're not inherently bad. They are just complicated. And there's something, it's not the time to, put some of your retirement money that into an investment that you don't know about. Whether they're alternative investments or stocks, bonds, equities, you should know what you're putting your hard-earned retirement savings into. And these types of investments can be more complicated. The way that they are structured, again, it's not a fault, it's just how they work. They take longer to get out of. So once you invest in them, you need to understand that you won't be able to make a decision on the spot, in a couple of days or maybe even months or maybe even years that you want to change your investment if it's not going the right way or if it's not doing well for you. It'll take more time. So that is something to be thinking about if you're going to be retiring sooner, that you might not be able to get out of this right away. They are more expensive than other types of investments. Again, that doesn't make them just necessarily bad. They just cost more. And it's a question of, whether it's worth it and whether you're going to really make enough money, whether the returns on that investment are going to justify the number of fees, the amount of fees that you're going to pay. And then, as we've been saying, they are more complicated just to understand how they work. And it's critical that if you are looking to possibly take advantage of this, that you be getting advice from someone who really knows and understands this. And it may be that you have never spoken with a financial advisor before, and now you want to get into some things that are a little more tricky. And so now is the time. It may also be that you have had a financial advisor that you've worked with over the years, but that financial advisor doesn't really have the expertise in these types of investments, as Pam has mentioned. So if you are thinking of this, I would say if you're a retirement saver, these are the times to really be talking about, to understand them yourself, to the extent you can read up and learn about them, but also to be making sure that when you're talking with any professionals you're dealing with, to ask them, what's your experience with this? Do you have other clients that work on this? What has it looked like for you? So that because sometimes it's hard for professionals to admit that they don't know everything. But this is not a time for people to be faking it until, fake it until we make it, because it may be that you just don't make it in the end. And I think one other thing that I wanted to point out, Mindy, is that Pam was talking before about like what exactly is private equity? What are private investments? And it's important to realize that, when we're thinking about private equity, again, private equity, it's not, you know, it's there's nothing inherently bad about it, but what exactly are you investing in? And a lot of times, you're investing in companies that are buying other companies, companies that are in trouble, and what do they do with those companies? And that's a whole different area that you could have a whole other segment on. But when you're thinking about, you know, kind of what you as a person want to support with your retirement money, some people don't want to invest in certain things. And so it's really important to just say, you know, before I say I'm going to put money in crypto, or I'm going to put money in private equity, or I'm going to put money in, you know, private real estate, what exactly does that mean? You know, you need to understand as a person, not only how is it going to work for you as far as increasing your savings, maximizing your retirement savings, but also what actually is this in the first
And
place?
what's the risk, right?
Right,
Yeah, that's the
right,
big question there
right,
too.
right. I mean, Mindy, one of the biggest benefits of investing in private equity, private investments, and when I call it a black box, I'm calling it a black box. I'm not saying it's horrible. I'm saying that the reason it's a black box is because no one knows exactly at any given moment what the value is of that investment. And only the promoters and the people selling it, or the people running the funds and making these deals actually know that. And they don't have to share that with you. But one of the biggest benefits, and why are people so attracted to this, you know, hedge funds and all, it's very sexy, right? The reason is because of something very simple and fundamental to investing called diversification. Diversification wins all battles when it comes to investing. So it's the private equity, private investments, alternative investments create an opportunity. They present an opportunity to further diversify away from plain vanilla stock market investments, and therefore protect you when there's volatility, protect you when the stock market drops. Because you always think, well, if I have some money in real estate, when the stock market drops, maybe, not always, but sometimes my real estate investments won't drop along with the market. That's protecting yourself from the downsides. So that's the argument. And then in order to get the higher returns that go along with the promise of private equity, then it's investing in these arcane deals that are completely opaque. So there's without any transparency, that's the black box aspect of it. But when we talk about this is all about democratizing investments, making these investments available to every mom and pop in America. Stop making them just for the wealthy. Again, you know, we'll say it again. You can buy these outside your 401k. You don't need your 401k to make a private investment. But if you want to talk about democratization, think about John Bogle. John Bogle is the legendary champion of the small investor who created the index fund at Vanguard to open up stock investing to everybody to significantly lower costs, increase transparency, create liquidity for people so they could grow their retirement savings. And look what happened to that revolution. It has helped so many working Americans get ahead in participating in the stock market without all those high fee mutual funds that were the legacy funds that used to be in 401ks. So, yay, that's innovation. This is innovation as well. However, they're being pitched as better than plain vanilla stock market ETFs because you have the chance of maybe getting higher returns. You know, it comes with a lot of fees that are much higher. You know, that's a given. And it comes with the opportunity to maybe diversify. If everything goes right, you might be able to do both those things. But because it's a gamble, this is why the investment advisors, especially in my WealthRamp network, they know already. They are experts on this. They're saying, no more than 5%. Just put a small portion, just a small portion of your savings in this. Don't go hog wild. So when it gets introduced and pushed into the 401k,
by the time it's been packaged up and it's got a pretty bow on it and it's in your 401k as an option, guess what happens? The person who is so well and meaning, your employer wants to help you. They want to help you save. They don't know anything about this. So you're investing in this and you're choosing it as though you're choosing an ETF. And that's the problem. If you're not wide awake and really have your eyes open to this and the risks involved and the portion that you should really invest, then you might think, ah, I'm going to reach for this because it looks better than everything else.
And if I could just pick up on one point that that Pam was making, we've been talking a lot about the individual retirement investor and what that person should know before they wade into this. But I'm sure, Mindy, that many of the people who listen to your program may be employers themselves. They may own a company or be making decisions for their business and their offering retirement benefits to their employees. And they, as employers, are going to have to make decisions about whether or not to offer these types of investments to their employees. And they are probably going to be hearing from the various professionals that they, as employers, rely upon to tell them, to give them advice. What types of investments should you be offering to your employees? And so not only should we as retirement investors be becoming aware and educated about these types of investments, but people who have their own businesses or are making decisions for a business also have to learn about this. Because as Pam said, people look to their employers and say, this is great. I'm happy. I'm thankful that I have a retirement benefit through my employer. And sometimes people might think that their employer made all the right decisions, asked all the right questions before they put one of these investments in their retirement plan. And hopefully the employer did all of that work. But as the employee, you can't assume that and just think that, well, it's here. Someone must have figured out that this was the right thing for me. And it may be that it was the right thing for some people, but not for you. So, I mean, we have to, again, just be asking questions and not assuming that this is a new shiny object that seems great. Let's all, get on the bandwagon. Let's ask questions first.
If we're already retired, does this affect those who have already retired and no longer contribute to their 401k? No, this doesn't impact them.
Well, it affects you if you've retired and you no longer contribute, but you haven't taken your money out of your 401k, then this still affects you because you still have money there in your 401k. So some people, they might retire from one job, but they're not really retired completely, or they've just not decided yet to take that money out. Or maybe they have taken their money out of 401k and put it in an IRA somewhere. So it does affect you. If you still have money, I guess the bottom line is if you still have money in a retirement account, whether you're working or you're retired or whatever your situation is, it will affect you in making decisions about that money. So as long as you have retirement savings somewhere and you're thinking about how to maximize that savings to carry you through your retirement, then you need to be paying attention and thinking about this.
Also, the thing you're talking about not being able to access the money maybe as quickly as you want, it made me think of younger people who are, just starting in their 401ks. This might be an option for them, right? But again, you got to know where that money's going and what the risk is, right?
Yeah, what portion
Sure.
of the percentage? Because think about a young person who wants to buy a house, Mindy, on the Cape, and they're trying to save up for a down payment. And if what would happen if they put it in an index fund and it's growing and it's low cost and they're just doing it's doing its thing. And on Monday, you say, you know what? I am actually going to take $30,000 out. I'm going to go ahead and make that decision. And you do it. What happens? It's a public market. You sell your shares. Well, what if your money is locked up in this private equity and private investments? You can't sell it on Monday. So how are you going to get to it if you need to? So yeah, younger people have longer time frames, which is a great argument. Again, I'm a big believer in true diversification. So having a small slice of this pie is might be really good. It might be just right. But if you depend on it and you're putting too much into it. No, I mean, that's not advisable for anybody, whether you're young, old, wealthy, not wealthy. It's just the proportion. Now, the problem is, now you're talking about, I'm at work. Picture yourself at work and you see this option come up and you're wondering whether you want to check the box and say, this, I've read about this. This might give me better returns and it might diversify. So you're focused almost like going down a rabbit hole in this one decision, in this one 401k plan. And let's say that you pick up the phone, you call the call center for the 401k for support. It's not financial advice, but it's education. And you wind up talking to the very person who has helped bring the private investments into the 401k. Now, you have a meeting with that person. Well, A, number one, are they a financial advisor for you? Are they a fiduciary to you? Are they working for you? Or are they working for the plan? Are they working for the very product that they're trying to sell? And what did I just walk away believing if I just had a meeting with that person? So, do I walk away believing that I just got really good financial advice and I'm making the assumption that everybody's already vetted this? It would never be in my 401k plan if people hadn't vetted it properly. So there are assumptions being made at every level. And then on top of it, you're focused like a laser beam on this one decision in this one 401k. And then you go home and your husband says, "What are you talking about? We already have this and this and this and this investments. We've already got this. And don't forget, we've got real estate." And all of a sudden you realize, "Oh my goodness. Everything I do with my most important retirement money over here has an impact. Every decision I make on everything I do outside my 401k in my real life, in my bigger life. I never even considered how this is going to play with the investments outside. So I'm not even getting context." So this is why when you bring private equity in, it's not to say it's not the greatest, like it's a wonderful innovation. It's that it comes with risks, it comes with fees, and you have to be knowledgeable. And knowledge is lagging, woefully lagging in this area. So you just have to have the whole picture in mind and really consider everything before you make this one decision.
Let's talk to Tor, who's giving us a call from Truro. Hi, Tor.
Oh, hey, good morning, Mindy. And I'm not, I don't know the name of this person who's just done a wonderful cross-section for us. What is her
It's
name?
Pam Kruger.
Pam Kruger, well, good morning to you. I'm following in the wake of your cross-examination of what our investment means. Now, I'm probably with so many people very curious as to know, not to upset an apple cart, but to know where our investments really go. And I'm at the point of wanting to challenge us because this nation's not very happy about what's happening in war zones across the world. And are we making bombs that are not being told to us by the investment companies we invest in? Now, case in point, my company for investing in a small bank account that I have tells nothing about on paper. We get no notification of where our money is being spent and what it's actually supporting. So when it comes to making bombs that go bomb and devastation abroad, I would like and challenge the investment companies, are they really telling us where our investments are trying to heal and be good for peace and harmony in the world?
Tor, thanks for the question.
Yeah, it's a really, really important point for so many people who really want to understand what they're putting their own money into to support. And there are lots of investment screens that are for either socially responsible or ESG. There's all different kinds of ways that you can filter. But in the world of private equity, private credit, private real estate, infrastructure funds, it's even more difficult to know where the money is going to work. And so in this discussion around private investments and private equity, it's hard enough to know the general investments that are in some of these funds because some of them are just deals that are being made. So, especially with private credit. So it just becomes more opaque, less transparent. And I think Lisa, I speak for Lisa and I both, that we are all for innovation. And again, this is not anti-private equity. It's just that we're really pro-transparency.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're talking about private
And I
investment.
think, Mindy, if
Oh,
I could
yeah, go ahead.
just add one thing to your caller's question. I mean, one thing that everyone can do is if there is something that is really meaningful to you, either as an employer, as a retirement saver, that you want to know where money is going. That's always something that, if you're an employee, you can ask your employer directly. Do we have any investments in X, or do we have anything that our retirement fund is supporting with respect to, whatever it is that you're concerned with? And it may be, and they should be able to tell you that, whether directly or indirectly that's happening. It gets kind of complicated as far as like what people can and can't consider and what you can and can't do, but certainly at least to make the first step of being knowledgeable and asking those questions and expressing those types of concerns, so at least you're doing that. So if you have those types of concerns, I would definitely say to ask those questions and see what kind of answers you get.
We're talking about private investment and private equity and 401k retirement accounts. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll have more after break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about private investment and private equity and 401k retirement accounts with Pam Kruger, of PBS's Money Track and founder and CEO of WealthRamp, and Lisa Gomez, who served under the Biden administration as Assistant Secretary for Employee Benefit Security at Department of Labor. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Dan asks, what if a person lives paycheck to paycheck, and it's a stretch just to pay the monthly bills. How do they invest?
The best possible way to empower yourself and start to get it, to be able to invest, and this kind of goes back to John Bogle. Thank you, John Bogle, for making it possible to invest really small amounts of money out of every paycheck. The way to take step by step and get there is to start one step at a time. It might seem insignificant, $100 a month. You know, if you can find $100 a month, $50 a month, and you can put that to work month over month over month, or paycheck over paycheck over paycheck, over the time, called dollar cost averaging. And guess what? It's like the most simple, single most successful investment strategy ever created. It means that over time, you average out what you pay to invest in stocks, so that over the years, sometimes you're buying shares when they're low, sometimes you're buying shares when they're high, but overall, you wind up kind of with an average price that you pay. And you start to see with your own eyes the power of investing, because those small amounts of money compound over time. And that's where you start to have confidence that, wow, I really can grow my savings. And that in and of itself is extremely empowering. And Mindy, if you want, I've got a handful of questions that I think that anybody in their 401k might want to ask if they are presented, or if they're pitched, you know, just outright pitched, you know, the benefits of investing in private equity or private investments as a way to get ahead. And I've got just a handful of
Yeah, go
questions.
ahead.
People should first and foremost ask exactly what the gentleman said on the phone. What exactly am I buying? Is it private credit? Is it real estate? Do I understand this? Do I understand this really? Secondly, how long is my money going to be tied up? When is the soonest I can actually access my money, and how does that work? You have to know that. Thirdly, what is the all-in cost? Don't just give me the headline 2% and 20% of the profit or 2%. I need to understand the administrative costs. I need to know the deal costs. I need to see the all-in costs. Because if I'm supposed to make better returns and then I have to subtract all those fees, maybe that extra risk I just took just evaporated if it's going to wind up being the same as it would have been in an index fund in the stock market. Number four, how does this fit with all of my other retirement savings and assets for my entire household? Not just me, not just one 401k, but all my 401ks, all my IRAs, my whole household. And then the last question, who's benefiting financially from me choosing this option? Just kind of asking yourself, why is this being pitched? And what's in it for them? And let them disclose what they make from basically offering this investment to you. So those are the questions that I would want to ask before I dive in thinking that I'm investing in something that's really cool and new, especially because crypto is likely to come into the picture. And I love crypto. I own some crypto myself, but in my 401k, really?
Right, Scott says, I'm a retired CEO of two PE private equity backed companies. I think your guests are misrepresenting PE. Too much fear mongering. By the way, I'm not a fan of Trump and his policies. I'm not a big fan of smaller investors investing in PE funds. It's about investing hedges. If you have enough money, it's viable for some. PE are not just buying troubled companies. There are many different types of PE investment strategies, growth types, industry sectors, etc. Black box characterization is also not accurate. PE valuations are not market derived. They have marks based on third-party independent valuations. Those marks are also available to investors. Small investors cannot invest in PE funds on their own. Usually, they are capital raise cycles, and most have minimum checks to write. Having 401ks investing enable smaller investors. PE often have financial structures and deals like preferred returns, off-balance sheet financing that actually reduce return risk. Your guests are not explaining this important aspect of PE risk mitigation. Thoughts on Scott?
I think it's a good point, Scott. The private equity investing versus the world of alternatives that are available in a 401k might look different. Okay, just to kind of make a big picture, public companies have to file quarterly and annual reports with the SEC. Prices get updated every single day in the stock market. Private equity and private credit, private investments, alternative investments aren't required to make that level of disclosure. So individual investors may only see broad categories of holdings. They might see some strategy descriptions, but they cannot see the actual underlying investments in detail. That's the black box. That's what I mean by the black box. Again, these investments may work beautifully to help diversify someone's portfolio, as long as they're in the correct proportion and you have the right advice. I couldn't agree more that they could be, and we would love. I mean that's the whole point of making them available so that people can decide for themselves if all of the complexity and all of the fees and any extra risk that might come from leverage or the way that they're structured or the way they don't report, et cetera, and limited liquidity, if all of that is going to make sense, you just have to weigh the pros and the cons.
Yep. So
And
how, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lisa.
no, I'm sorry. I was just going to add on to that and make it clear. And I really appreciate Scott, lending his perspective to this. And I mean, I'll just speak for myself. The purpose of having this discussion is most definitely not to try to instill fear in anyone, or to discourage, people from looking into these types of investments. And as Scott is indicating in his comments, there is a lot to private equity. There's not just one specific type. There's lots of different things that are out there that make up this this category of, this very broad category of private equity and private investments, and also like alternative investments. So I don't want anyone to misinterpret what we're saying as trying to instill fear or to advise against any of this. My main concern or my main message here is that this is an area where, as Pam's been saying, it could be something that, having access to this really changes the game for certain types of investors. But because this is more complicated than some of the, your run of the more run of the mill investments, it's an area where you should be asking more questions and getting more information. Some saying that something is more complicated or that you need to find out more about it doesn't make it bad. It just means that you need to be talking with people like Scott. People who have more
Knowledge.
history and more information so that you can make the right decisions for yourselves. And it might be that at this point in your life, it's not the right thing, but that in 10 years, it will be the right thing. So there's never a bad time to be learning about it. And really, the last thing I want to have is for people to be afraid of anything when it comes to their retirement. Because, everything about retirement is not usually, for most of us, what we do for our day jobs. It can be complicated. It can be, technical. There's a lot of tax rules involved. I mean, it's not a lot. It's not something that we deal with on the day to day. And it is, as Pam said earlier, it is often the largest asset that anyone has. And it can be daunting. And so we don't want people to get into this state of kind of analysis paralysis, where you're just so scared about what to do with your money that you end up doing nothing. We don't want that to happen. We want people to just be aware and be asking questions and to make the right decisions for themselves.
Mindy, I just wanted to say quickly, if I could, if we can go back into the bubble of the 401k world, for example, what I think Scott would agree with is that inside the context of your 401k, inside that bubble, you've got to understand that you may only hear the benefits of private equity. You may only hear the benefits and all the great things about private investments. Now, you may not get a healthy dose of the downsides. And that's what I'm trying to suggest. You balance all the potential benefits, higher long-term returns possibility, access to companies before they go public, diversification. Balance that with the trade-offs that we already know are real, which are higher fees, illiquidity, and much less transparency. Sophisticated investors only accept these trade-offs when they've done their homework. We're suggesting that everybody needs to do that.
Right. We just have about 45 seconds, Pam. And one of the things people, this is really complicated. So just quick thoughts on finding a financial advisor. What are we looking for?
When you're looking for an advisor, they have to work only and directly for you as legally accountable at the fiduciary standard level, meaning they have to be able to put a fiduciary oath in writing on their firm's letterhead. That's super, super important to protect you right there, to get unbiased advice and look for a fee-only advisor. That means, it doesn't mean that they can't manage your assets in your portfolio. It just means that they're not getting paid commissions. They're not getting paid to push any particular products. They're there to only advise you.
All right. Pam Kruger of PBS's Money Track and founder and CEO of WealthRamp, and Lisa Gomez, who served under the Biden administration as Assistant Secretary for Employee Benefit Security at the Department of Labor. Thank you both. Very interesting this morning. Thank you so much for your
Thank
expertise.
you.
Thanks, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.